Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome to the program, everybody. It's hour two of the Rod Peterson Show coming at you on this Wednesday, April 8th, out of the bunker in Western Canada, Canada's morning sports talk show. Did I say it was episode 210?
You did now.
It's been a fun program, and it's going to continue to be fun. Eddie Steele with us, Grey Cup champion, former Ticat, Rough Rider, and Eskimo will be joining us from Edmonton. He had some interesting thoughts on Daron Carter's take last week that got Daron just ripped from neck to navel for how society now realizes how football players feel when they lose their job. It sounded like Eddie wanted to come to defense of Daron. A lot of things to chat with Eddie with. He's our Edmonton correspondent.
Yes.
Really. And Sook Chung will join us, BC Lions offensive lineman. I want to clear something up. And I appreciate Jim Vancha writing in. One of our regular viewers says, just jumped in. I'm sure you've heard that the NLL has canceled the remainder of the season. That's why I got to be very leery of what, when the viewers write in with things. So we looked into it, and our people have told us that the regular season has been canceled, not the playoffs. And I think it's the Jug. You know, Pat in Saskatoon, the Jug, has written in, somebody wrote in and said that the NLL is investigating a postseason tournament. So they've not canceled the remainder of the season. They've canceled the remainder of their regular season. There's a big difference. And as I go and look back at our show topics today, number one was Gary Bettman telling NBC Radio that they likely won't finish the regular season. And I just thought, who the hell thought that they were going to? How is that news? Right from the jump, they were talking about, are we going to cut this off, the playoff line, at 16 teams and go by points or go by winning percentage? Are we going to expand it to 18 or 20 teams to include the bubble teams? How are we going to do this? They really never, ever did talk about finishing the regular season.
The only thing I really thought might happen in terms of regular season games, because I think we all understand that they have to play some games to get back into game shape, right? Some exhibition games. That wouldn't count for anything. The only thing I thought in the regular season is maybe the teams who had a game in hand might play the one game to catch up, so they'd all be at the same number of games. That might be the only thing they do. But in terms of finishing out the last 10 games, not happening.
So just clarifying that on behalf of the NLL fans, and Pat in Saskatoon also correcting me. I said the Rush was 6-3. He said 7-3. So I apologize. When their season was suspended going into March 20th weekend, I thought that was their record. But they'll be in the playoffs, let's put it this way, what they decide to do. I've got Calgary athletes, well, one anyways, ripping me for what I said about Bo Levi. I don't understand. Help. Can you, before we bring on our next guest, Eddie Steele, can you please tell me what these guys aren't getting? Like, so the thief that stole Bo Levi Mitchell's Grey Cup ring and MLP ring, they found him. I don't know how they did, but he appeared in Calgary court yesterday and he said, hey, the truck was unlocked. I helped myself. That was the headline in the Calgary Sun. Thief admits to stealing rings, Bo Levi Mitchell's rings from unlocked car.
Yep.
So I retweeted it and said, and I'm the idiot. How do I pass on that?
You can't.
I can't. Now, do I feel bad for Bo? Yes. Have we all done dumb things in our lives? God knows I lead the list in that. But I take my lumps for it. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, it's like being in a prize fighter for a championship title fight.
He just leans out.
And he opens up his arms for a second. You're not sitting there like, that's too easy. Close them up. Let's go. Let's make it fair.
You got to take it.
You take the shot. And you would hope that he would take the shot to you, too, if you left yourself exposed.
I would expect that I'd be disappointed if he didn't.
Yes.
I was more upset when I didn't hear from Bo for the longest time. And then I hear, you know, the most recent comment was he called me an idiot. And I'm like, yes, okay, good, it's on. He's paying attention. Because if he wasn't saying anything, then did he even hear?
Yeah.
So it's fun. When are they going to get this? I wrote about it on the weekend. It's WrestleMania stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's great. It's Entertainment 101. We're having fun.
Rob Johnston writes, and he says, "Bahahaha! You had to tweet that. You couldn't pass that up." That's what I thought. I went back and forth in the shower. Should I? Shouldn't I? Well, hell yes. We're in the entertainment business. This is what makes it fun. Contrary to what people believe, it does sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. What else did we have? Do we have Eddie Steele yet?
No, his Wi-Fi's choppy.
Oh, Eddie's phone's not working. Eddie's phone's his Wi-Fi's choppy, so... We have the best crew. I got to say this. I've been thinking about this, too. I go home at the end of the day, and I think about the crew that we have here. They only see the two of us. They don't understand the crew that we have working behind the scenes. If there's a problem, these guys fix it pronto. A great example is that Jordan Williams that came on Monday from East Carolina. Mm-hmm. Going to be the number one pick in the CFL draft. We brought him on for whatever reason. He looked great, and you couldn't hear him. Within seconds, Jordan, who you people never, ever see, is like, put on your headphones. You got a mic in your headphones. Plug it in. Boom. We're good to go. Love that.
Yeah, it's
I love
awesome.
working with guys that this stuff matters. And they're proud to be part of something and a winning team. I love it. It's so great. It's so great. Brenda in Saskatoon says, who's the idiot for leaving his truck unlocked? And also, why would you leave your rings in the truck in the first place? Oh, I got to say, I've done it. I have done it.
You've just never been caught.
I wouldn't troll anybody else on the face of the planet for doing this, but Bo. He's the only guy. And it was too easy. But I've done it. I don't know if you've done it. I've got a lot of friends that have done it.
Yeah.
Bo Halverson writes in. He says, to quote the White Chicks movie, oh my God, you were thinking it. I said it. That's what I think. I just say what people are thinking. I don't think that I'm any... conspiracy theorist or contrary thinker, I think you're all thinking it. I say it.
That's fair.
What's up, Clark?
Just waiting
on Eddie Steele. Donald Narcisse, the great Donald Narcisse, left his Grey Cup rings in a gym bag. You guys probably don't remember this. This was like stage five alarm when that happened, that he lost his Grey Cup ring and most outstanding ring, and it was in the newspaper, it was all that play. Well, how do you think that story ended? It was on the CTV News, CBC News. Don Narcisse has lost his rings. Everybody be on the lookout.
It's like a missing child. Everybody leaves the house and they start going down the street.
3 months later, Narco digs in the back of his closet, pulls out the gym bag, zip, oop, found him. Never been so happy to feel so stupid. Which I think was his quote. Go ahead.
You say that, and when I think of Bo Levi Mitchell, I think of somebody who's a master of his craft. He's very good at football. So I'm picturing his truck, and I'm picturing it being super clean and tidy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in control of his world. That's how you become the best, right? You become the best by being disciplined. So I picture, his life being just like his football career, very in control, and so his truck being clean. But can you imagine? It's like one of ours, not yours, but somebody else, dirty, and he's got a couple of chip bags under the seat.
McDonald's wrappers.
Exactly, and then maybe a coffee cup, and his rings just happen to fall, and they're in one of those. And 3 months from now, he pulls the Narcisse, and he's just cleaning his truck. He's at Suds, and they're doing the interior clean. They're like, under the floor mat, here's a couple of rings, Bo.
Except they caught the thief, and he admitted it.
That he stole.
So
that's
the
difference.
Let's go out on the video chat. And Eddie Steele, who is a champion, if you don't want to answer this, Eddie, don't. I've seen you wear your Grey Cup ring. So do you lock it up? Do you hide it? What do you do with it?
I keep both my Grey Cup ring and my Vanier Cup ring in my nightstand drawer next to my bed in the little cases that they came in.
Yep, and of course locked up. I totally understand that. Eddie, how are things in Edmonton, by the way? We haven't had a chat from you for some time. How's the Steele family and how's you and yours?
We're all doing pretty good. Fortunately, I'm able to do some work from home during this crazy time, so it's pretty neat that I can be home and kind of embrace the time with my family, get to be more or less a full-time dad, raising my little guy. He's going to be 3 here coming up, and our daughter now is going to be 4 months coming up, so it's been pretty special. But I want to hijack this interview a little bit,
because
I reached out to you guys because I feel like I have to get something off my chest based off the little Twitter exchange that went on last week when Daron Carter tweeted out some things. So I've been really thinking about it, and I want to come at it from an intellectual standpoint. I don't want to just be some football player coming off his high horse, thinking I'm on a pedestal and just being total pro football. But I've read a lot of negative comments based off what Deron had said last week, and then you went on and you kind of doubled down talking about how being a football player is stressful. And you know what? It is stressful. And I'm going to start off by saying I respect all jobs. I respect people who work in every and any different industry, who goes out, grinds to provide for themselves, to provide for their families. And I'm coming at this from Eddie Steele's opinion. I feel like I have some solid ground to stand on because I played pro football for 9 years. I've seen it all. I've been through multiple contract negotiations. I've been cut. I've been injured. I've done everything essentially except get traded. So I feel like I have something I want to say. And a lot of football players, the majority, you get to the pros because that was a dream and you grew up dreaming of being a pro football player. And a lot of these naysayers, the haters, the people who have comments, the fact is they don't have the cojones or the determination to go out and accomplish and live a dream. So they got to talk down on guys who are living their dreams and who express themselves. I don't always agree with Deron. You know, he says some things that I don't agree with, but he says some things that are very accurate and very true, and a lot of people don't like to hear it. Now, his comment last week about being stressful and people laid off, you know, timing probably wasn't the best because we are dealing with a difficult situation. But the fact of the matter is he's not lying, and being a football player is stressful. People sign multiple year contracts in football, but the reality is every contract is a day-to-day contract. People in their different occupations generally don't have to worry about getting cut. They don't have to worry about getting traded. There are no severance packages in football. If you're not a coach's guy, you don't have to worry about the next boss coming in and getting rid of you because he doesn't like you. Not a lot of occupations do you have to worry about being injured. I'm a believer. You know I'm a Christian, Rod. I prayed before every football game, and I didn't pray for wins. I didn't pray for good games. I prayed that I could make it out of a football game healthy. Not a lot of occupations you show up life on the line for yourself and for your family to provide for each other. You know, I can only think of a few being police officers, firemen, and of course, right now, got to give a shout out to the frontline healthcare workers because they're doing a fantastic job. So those are some of the small things that are incorporated into why football is such a stressful job. How about the fact that most occupations, not your every move is filmed? If you don't take a step 6 inches properly this way, they're not going to look to get someone in there who will do that. They're not going to look to bring in new guys. If you have a couple bad plays in a game, they're not going to look to replace you. If you have a bad day at work, for most people, you can go home, shake it off, nothing's going to change. But that's not the case in football. And a lot of people, I think, neglect that and they don't understand. They see a football player and the football game as an entertainment, which it is. People pay to come in and watch us play. But the reality is it's so much more than that. And there's actual lives at stake here and families, and it affects so many people. Now I'm done with football. I'm in a sales job, and sales can be highly stressful too. I'm sure most people know that. But I'll tell you what, doing what I do now, it's night and day, not even close to the stress levels that I had and that I carried around when I was playing pro football. I wouldn't have a couple bad plays in a game and lose a whole night's worth of sleep because I'm worried whose coach going to bring in to replace me. I don't have to show up to work and see four new faces that do the same job I do looking to replace me. I don't have to think the minute I sign a contract, they're looking to replace you. They're looking to go younger. They're looking to go cheaper. And I've been on the whole spectrum. I've made a lot of money. I've made little money in some years. I've had a serious injury. I've been cut, like I said. So I feel like I can speak on this. So I just wanted to get that off my chest because I see a lot of these comments on Twitter, and it's crazy that people don't realize what football players actually put into it. And like I said, a lot of these people who are talking, they don't have the determination, the drive, or the cojones to go out and try and accomplish a dream. And the fact is, there's less than 1% of less than 1% of the population is a pro football player. So that's saying something. That's a special type of person. And people, they don't really realize that. Now, with all that, football has done a lot of good things for me in my life, too. And I'm very appreciative of the game. It's allowed me to have a platform to go and speak to youth. It's allowed me to travel across Canada, see all major cities, build great relationships. But I don't miss the game of football one bit. I don't, now that I'm retired after playing for the past 17 years of my life. I miss the guys. I miss the relationships. I miss the jokes. But I don't miss eating double teams for a living. I don't miss the stresses that football has brought to me and the stresses that it's brought to my family. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, man. I've been thinking about it for a while. And like I said, I didn't want to come and offend people. But the reality is so many people speak without any knowledge of it. And this is someone who's lived it, the goods, the bads, and that's the truth of it. You know, I'm not making any of it up. How about the fact that I see a lot of people with contracts? And like I mentioned, I've been cut, and I was cut the day before I was due a bonus, an off-season bonus. People say, you're the one who signed the contract. Yeah, I signed the contract, but why wouldn't they cut me 3 weeks before? Why wouldn't they cut me a week before? Why did they wait to cut me less than 24 hours before I was due a bonus when I had a wife who was due to give birth in 2 weeks? And this isn't just a woe is me story. This is the reality for us football players. This is what we go through. I've heard stories, seen it happen to friends. I've had a buddy who gotten cut 20 minutes before the hour of midnight, when his bonus was due the next day. They called him and they cut him. That ain't right. That ain't right at all. But yet people, they think that football players, this is what we sign up for. And yeah, to a degree, this is what we sign up for. But people don't realize the behind the scenes junk and the garbage that we do have to go through to be a football player. So that was my little rant, and sorry for hijacking, but man, that's why I wanted to get on the show, because I had to get off of that. I had to get that off of my chest, man.
Actually, Eddie, I appreciate it. And I want to just double down on a couple of those things, because some of these people that we've been arguing with since last week will never get it. But I think it's opened up the eyes of some people that they think that football players, it's just so much fun and it's money for nothing and chicks for free. And they don't understand the stress that's behind it. But more than anything is, I've seen so many players and coaches just discarded over their career. And people just move on. And I'm talking about, it doesn't matter if it's some American rookie from Southeast Louisiana or it's Western Dressler or Chris Getzlaff or John Chick. People just, they move on and they don't care. And then I've been discarded. I've been discarded a couple of times. It doesn't feel good. But all that it did for me was actually bring me in closer to those players and coaches. Like, oh, yeah, it finally happened to you, huh? That was what I was getting a lot of. And you got to come out with a Humboldt Strong flag. Eddie, you did some really cool things. But I'm like you. I don't miss it either. It was awesome for a long time. But it's over. And why I kind of got what you guys were all saying. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's the gist of it. And like you said, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink it. People, they're always going to have their own opinions. And this is just my opinion because I lived it. And I read some things and it just makes me shake my head. Like I read a comment last week. A lady says, well, sign smarter. What does that mean, sign smarter? You explain that to me, because I'm signing to try and provide for my family. And you know what? I'm a 9-year vet and I signed to the best of my capabilities. I know how contracts work. I know where the guaranteed money is. Yeah, you sign as smart as you can, but people, they don't get it. And I just had to get on here because there's a platform that you provided for me. And I just wanted to get that out there, man, from a true player's perspective.
That lady, by the way, that said that, she apologized and conceded defeat, by the way, to Duran and I on that. So I got to give her credit. She's in your town, Edmonton, by the way. Justin Pilardi is watching and he's written in, Eddie. He says, former CFL kicker, for those that don't know, he says, Eddie just spoke a lot of truth there. Good dude, well-spoken. Happy to say we shared the 2010 CFL draft together when we both landed with the Ticats. Fist pound emoji.
Yes, sir.
So there you go, Eddie. A lot of people are going to see this. I appreciate it. We do have to break. So when we bring you back, we'll talk a little more football. But this was perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Eddie Steele checking in from the City of Champions. We'll be right back. We got Sook Chung coming up from the BC Lions, plus a sports update. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning. Facebook Live coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
Nat, what are the top 5 reasons people come to Suds?
Number 5, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number 4, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze up. Number 3, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number 2, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number 1 reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Hey, you! Have you subscribed to the Rod Peterson Show YouTube channel yet? Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now!
Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday, episode 210 of Canada's morning sports talk show, The Rod Peterson Show. Thanks for being aboard. Sook Chung coming up from the BC Lions. Just sitting here, yakking it up on the old yak box. And trying to entertain you folks today. And actually giving the floor to Eddie Steele and letting him do
that's the
for
easiest.
A change. Eddie should be in broadcasting. Good looking dude, too.
Oh, yeah. He should be.
Sports update. An 8th NHL player has tested positive for COVID-19. The league announced Tuesday that a 3rd player from the Colorado Avalanche has the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. The league says the player is in self-isolation and has not had close contact with teammates or Colorado staff members. The 5 other NHL players who tested positive all play for the Ottawa Senators. Avs and Sens played each other just before the spit hit the fan. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Burton, and Carl Edwards were among the new nominees for NASCAR's next Hall of Fame class announced Tuesday. See, Jordan, told you it was coming. Our director, Jordan's a big race car driver.
Oh, yeah.
And fan.
Good one, too.
The new voting process for the NASCAR Hall of Fame splits the nominees into 3 ballots: modern candidates, pioneer candidates, and landmark candidates. Earnhardt won 26 career cup races, including a pair of Daytona 500s, and is a 15-time winner of NASCAR's Most Popular Driver Award. Burton counts wins in the Southern 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 among his 21 career cup victories. There's a street in Avondale, Arizona. Well, it's a suburb of Phoenix. Dale Earnhardt Drive. It's so cool. I've been on it.
Cool.
Drove on Russ Howard Way as well in Moncton. I love when they honor these guys like that. Although, in North Regina, there's a bunch of streets. There's Fong Crescent and Ridgeway Drive and Elgard Way. And it's like you get tracked in the... If you get lost...
No chance.
You think you're in the wonderland of Ryderville. Like, where the hell am I?
Yeah.
You expect to see a bunch of green pixies jumping out. Like, did you have to put them all together?
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all in for a new look in 2020, building on momentum created by the signing of 6-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady in free agency. The Bucs on Tuesday unveiled new uniforms for next season, a move that also figures to be embraced by fans. Gone are jerseys sporting difficult-to-read digital alarm clock-style numbers, replaced by more traditional red, white, and pewter ensembles similar to the uniforms the team wore from 1997 to 2013, the most successful stretch in franchise history. The Bucks have missed the playoffs 12 straight seasons, haven't won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl 18 years ago. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where it's Wendell Wednesday, the Wendell Burger would be on special, but it's actually on special every day now. If you've looked at their special menu,
yeah,
just
cool.
Go to their Facebook page. They've got it. They got free delivery anywhere in Saskatoon. Curbside pickup. Wendell Clark's. We love them and can't wait to get back there. I'm just reading the Facebook wall, the cesspool here.
That's going to catch on. You know that, right?
From our viewers. So, by the way, it's been a fun day talking sports. Claire Hanna with us from the CFL on TSN. Eddie Steele just with us, dropping truth bombs, backing up Daron Carter.
Yep.
And 3downnation.com's Justin Dunk was with us earlier on. And now we're going to the West Coast. Sook Chung joins us. First round draft pick in the CFL with the Blue Bombers. Now with the BC Lions joining us today. How you doing, Sook?
Good, man. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And by the way, your position coach, Kelly Bates, texted me last night, said that he's going to be watching, that you're a fantastic young man. And it seems to me like you guys had a lot of excitement going with the BC Lions into this season. And now this. How are you guys as a team dealing with this the pandemic right now?
I think we're all, you know, as a league, we're all in the same boat together. So it's definitely a tough situation, but it's a tough situation for the world. And hope we just all can do our part and get back to things that are normal. And of course, we had a lot of excitement coming into the year, a little bit of a chip on our shoulder from what happened last year. And individually, I had a chip on my shoulder as well. So I was excited to get things to going in May, but you know, it's been come to a hell of a stop here. So we'll see when things fire up again.
Right. A pause. Let's say a pause, because it will continue at some point, as you know. You said the chip on your shoulder. Yeah. If I may, where did that chip come from? What is motivating you on a daily basis?
Just the season we had last year, I don't think is representative of the guys that we had in that room. And, you know, we've upped the caliber in the room, and just excited because, you know, it was a bit of a roller coaster last year. And I'm just excited to be a part of the BC Lions in 2020, and I think the chip just comes as a whole group, and you know, not living up to the standards we had set up in our locker room, so that we were all looking forward to getting back on that field.
Well, everybody was surprised about a fifth place finish. I think I had you guys picked third. You probably had you guys picked first. So at some point when this picks up again, you'll have a chance to prove that. But what I keep hearing from the fans is we don't hear a lot from the players. They're just saying, what are the players doing? For yourself, Sook, in terms of staying in shape, not a lot of guys got home gyms to push the kind of iron that you're going to. So what is your life like on a day-to-day basis right now?
Well, at the beginning of this whole pandemic here, I didn't have enough weights and stuff, and gyms were closed. But I had like a little bit of weight, but I've gathered some weight from, you know, people that weren't using them, and got some chains and stuff like that just to keep things going. And I still try to keep myself in a routine. So I wake up in the morning, do my daily routine, get on a field, move around, and then lift the weight that I do have. Of course, it's not being in a proper gym or anything, but yeah, I guess it will do for now, and it's better than nothing.
Do you work with your own personal trainer, or you're like Chris Boyko? I know your strength coach with the BC Lions, just a super guy. Are you?
Yeah.
Is he the guy that's directing all your workouts right now? And has he been forced to kind of change on the fly, given the fact that it's just not a normal time?
Yeah. So we have our strength and conditioning coach with the BC Lions, and then I have a guy, Joe McCallum, who works out at UBC. I've been working with him for like the past 4 or 5 years, and just on little, you know, like the small prehab, rehab stuff, and just, you know, keep the body healthy and moving right. But both trainers have had to adjust on the fly, and I think Chris Boyko's done a great job on, you know, asking of what we have access to and then going off of that. And, you know, some guys don't even have any weights, so they maybe more band workouts or whatever that Chris can or my trainer can come up with. We follow the regime.
Souk, what was it like signing with your hometown team? Aside from the record that the team had, has it been everything that you had hoped that it would be?
It was, you know, an exciting time in my pro career to come back home. It was a long journey to get back to Vancouver, BC, but a lot of, you know, I'm proud to represent this this province and this football club. Definitely with the season we had last year, it wasn't, you know, how we wanted things to go, but it's nice to have mom and dad in the stands more than once or twice a year when I was playing in Winnipeg. So it's nice to see them 9 times a year at home, and more family gets to come out, and it's pretty cool, man.
You know, I got to ask you this. Derek Dennis said, because he only got one game with the Guardians, didn't he? One game?
So.
He said the next game he was going to have 2,000 people at MetLife Stadium, because Derek Dennis is from New York State. How many from the Chung family would be at a Lions game on average? How many were coming out last year?
I would say, you know, the first couple, there was a ton of people that probably never even watched a football game before, but that just came for support. But on an average, I would say probably 25 to 50, you know, but it just varies, you know. Sometimes they all don't come out, but I have a majority of a good solid group that comes out and supports me, friends and family included.
So, you know, my friends in the Vancouver media, they all know about the Lions. Everybody makes fun about the Lions attendance, but they say, from what I hear, you're from there, you tell me if I'm wrong, but what I hear is if this team was a winner consistently, that place would be full, or at least exponentially bigger crowds. It's a fickle fan base out there for the CFL. How do you see it?
Of course, I think the better we do as an organization, the more people we get in those seats. I remember coming to games when I was a kid, and both decks were filled out. So, you know, the goal would be, you know, to fill BC Place up and make it loud and obnoxious for other teams to come and play.
Yeah, I hate when I hear that those times will never return again. Well, if you think that, they're definitely not going to come back. But I think the BC Place could be full for sure. Sue, can you take a question or two from our viewers? Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is a tough one. It's from Colin in Ottawa. Colin McNulty. He says, ask Sue, what was it like to see his old teammates in Winnipeg raise the Grey Cup last year? I didn't want to ask it. I'm going to let Colin in Ottawa ask it. Sue, how tough was that?
Hey, I'm happy for the organization of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Definitely a decision I made to come out here. But to see Mike O'Shea and those guys win a cup that they worked hard for, it's nice. It was well-deserved. And I have a lot of friends that I've made over the years over there, and I was happy to see them happy. But, you know, it hurts a little bit. But hey, this is a decision I made to come out here, and we're going to put the BC Lions back on the map here.
You know, any player that leaves to sign with his hometown team has never regretted it. I don't know one that's regretted it. And I don't think you do either. No. From Tyler in Humboldt, he says, what does Souk think of his position coach, Kelly Bates? So I mentioned Kelly earlier. What do you like about Coach Bates?
I think Kelly brings a lot to the table. I think Kelly's focuses a lot on our technique and makes us worry about what we can do, not, you know, the opponent or whatever. It's a lot on our technique, and he drives a lot of the small details into us, and I think that's very important as an O-lineman. And sometimes as a player you look over those things, but as a coach he does a very good job of highlighting these details and always working the details, and I enjoy working with Kelly.
Well, we've enjoyed what John O'Flynn's writing from North Vancouver. He says, family first. He gives a arm flex emoji. Hometown, nice. From John in North Vancouver. Well, Souk, we've enjoyed this visit, too. I appreciate... Oh, we got one from our producer, Clark. Who were some of Souk's favorite offensive linemen growing up? Who'd you...
So growing up in the Lions, it was like guys like Angus Reid, Bobby Singh, around the league. Didn't watch a ton of football outside of the BC Lions, but there was a guy named Patrick Kabongo. I thought he was a monster up front. And yeah, I watched the Lions O-line quite a bit. Those three guys are the ones that come up to my mind first.
Somebody's going to have to look this up, but I think Patrick Kabongo might be the biggest player that's ever played in the CFL, I think. And I'm not just talking about height. I'm talking about weight. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about. Right. Dan Payne is another former BC Lion that is in that area. Do you know Dan?
I went to school with Dan, I think Dan's son, and Dan used to come around. He's another monster human being as well.
Yeah, super guys. Memphis Blues. I got down at Memphis Blues with Dan. Guy knows how to eat. Suk, we'll let you go. Again, great job in the interview. Can't wait to see you out on the field this year. I appreciate it. All the best, and stay safe out there.
Thank you as well. Take care.
All right, BC Lions offensive lineman Suk Chung joining us from the Vancouver area, Port Coquitlam, I think, specifically. And there's another BC Lion that you get to meet, and you just can't help but pull for a guy like that. And the team, based on the kind of character people they're assembling.
I know. I'm going to be wearing BC Lions gear on the show and following the team and rooting for them now. We've always said this. You root for people, right?
And when there's root for people.
There's good people in the organization. You just can't help but pull for them.
We're going to pause, and we've got two segments left. Lots of time left here. Oh, what do we got? Oh, there's your BC Lions.
Whoa.
Toss that to me. Let me see that.
All right.
Might have to put this up. Whoa! You almost knocked my coffee over. That would have been disastrous.
I was trying to avoid the bottle.
This came right from the BC Lions, and I don't even think we had time to contact the Lions. We were talking about bringing the show out there for the home opener.
Yeah.
And doing it right from the steps of BC Place Stadium that morning. How amazing would that have been?
Yeah. And
because they've been so good to us, we'd like to return the favor. And I guess we still could.
Well,
we just don't know when
the hard thing is planning, and we don't know. Like, we had, you know, training camp plans that we were talking about what we were going to do to try and, you know, make sure we had a presence at training camps across the country. Yeah, it throws everything into a bit of pause right now. So we're kind of sitting back waiting too.
KC in Winnipeg's watching, and he says, back in the 80s, the Bombers always filled BC Place. Unfortunately, it will never be filled like that again because the blackouts are removed. We can talk about that and more when we come back.
Yeah, we can.
I am not a fan of the term never. Never. I do think they can get it back. Plenty to come. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Wednesday morning. Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode 210 rolls on of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. So we got a lot of things to get to here. Again, Smitty sticking with us. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, says, quote, "I've got a saying I say a bunch. Never say never. Those that say that BC Place will never get back to being filled for Lions games." I like this phrase from another CFL great, Gary Echeverry. Never's a long time.
Never's right? a long time.
That one thing about Etch, his sayings have caught on across the CFL. People still use his sayings, even though he's working as a consultant, not full-time in the league. Just before we delve back into this, Brett Upton, can you leave that up? Oh, Brett, I see it. My dad is a BC Lions fan. He would have enjoyed the interview with Souk. Any football fan, I think, would enjoy the interview with Souk for sure. CFL agent, NFL agent, Rob Fry's watching. He writes in and says, "Did I miss the real deal? The guy speaks the truth." He's talking about the real deal, Eddie Steele. And I think I'm about ready to give up this argument because Eddie and I and Duran are all on the same side. Shamad Chambers wrote in, the former first-round pick in the CFL. Was he a Ryder or Eskimo first-round pick?
Eskimo.
Play for both teams, yeah. Whatever. In defense of what we're saying. Now, Evan in Fredericton is watching. Fredericton, New Brunswick. Freddie Beach, as some call it. On the Prairie Mobile text line, he says, "Regardless of how correct Duron Carter was in his tweet, it was still poorly timed and poorly thought out, and the defense of Carter is ridiculous. It is roughly the equivalent of military members telling healthcare workers who are isolating from their families that now they know what it feels like to be away from their families, similar to when military personnel deploy on operations. It is technically correct, but would be completely tone deaf to say under current circumstances. Football players complaining about how hard they have things and how stressful their lives are is completely tone deaf and doesn't take cojones to say something that stupid. Go talk with police, firefighters, healthcare workers, and military personnel about work stress if you need a reality check." Now, Evan and Fredericton, you're completely missing the point, and that's why I'm about ready to just cut bait on this and move on. We're talking about losing your job. To quote Chris Jones, don't get it twisted. Losing your job is traumatic. It doesn't matter how it happened, when it happened, at what stage in your life. Losing your job is traumatic. That's what Duron's saying. Duron's not comparing football players' stress to what first responders are doing. You are. Duron wasn't. It's about losing your job and the terror that these guys live in on a daily basis, not knowing whether they have a job from one day or not. First responders aren't worried about losing their job. You, Evan, are talking about something completely different than what Duron, Eddie, and I are talking about. That's all. And what did I say to Eddie? Not everybody's going to get this.
No.
Some are, their eyes have been opened a bit. Some will never get it. So we might as well just, and back to the reality of losing your job and being discarded. It's happened to me a few times. You lose your job and the world keeps spinning. It's for you to deal with. And it's happened to Duron multiple times, happened to Eddie multiple times. As I just said, it's happened to me multiple times. That is the point. Losing your job's traumatic. These guys, we've all been through it. And now some people are going through it for the first time. That's what they're saying.
And they're not saying that they're comparing themselves to being soldiers or being first responders or officers or saying that their profession has any comparison to that. But in terms of job security or stress, everybody deals with their own thing. We always compare ourselves to the worst case scenario. Well, you got nothing on military because they're putting their life on the line every day. So quiet and be happy. Now, there's nothing better than when you have self-awareness, right? And when you have perspective and optimism. You've been through the worst, so everything is easier because of it. And you're more appreciative for what you have on a day-to-day basis. That's great. Not everybody has that. But you even look at like the most extreme case on the other side of the guy who's rolling in $300 million deals and he's running a big business. He's dealing with his own stress. As simple as the nanny cancels in the morning. But you got a nanny to clean your house and do your dishes and take care of your kids. But now you've got a kid with nobody, with nowhere to go that day. So the fact that you have to adjust your whole day to take care of that, and now it throws off a potential $1 million deal that you were supposed to take. And everybody deals with their own stresses, is my point, right?
Oh, yes. Well, look, Jay, I wanted to get to this before it slides off the Facebook wall here, but James Hamilton writes in and he says, remind Duran, Alberta is about to face 25% unemployment. Unprecedented. Small potatoes, Duran. James, you're not getting it. Guess what? Duran Carter's facing unemployment too. Just like those people. As am I, as are you. Some of you are not getting it. That's why I'm about to just give up on the argument. And furthermore, on your point about stress is stress, listen, I was sitting with a psychiatrist here in town. We went for lunch. She deals with her thing and I deal with mine, which is only in sports. And I said, oh, I don't really get into what you get into. And she says, well, you were dealing with that one pitcher that was, you know, dealing with addictions issues. And, you know, he's facing the pressure of bottom of the ninth, two on, two out, 40,000 in the stadium, 4 million watching on TV. That's stress, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, stress is stress. The oil company owner, the EMT, it's their stress.
In your own mind, all you can do, all you have is your own situation. I have no idea how stressful it is to be in Baghdad or in Afghanistan or being a soldier or being a cop and going out of the house. All I can do is take somebody's word for it. And I know that's stressful. And I'm not trying to say that my thing is more important or my stress is less important. But to be affected by the stress in your world happens in every you know, profession.
Everybody's stress is their own stress.
And all we see is the celebrity of being a football player. Not that, hey, this career might only be 4 years. So you're telling me I'm making $80,000 for 4 years? And then what? I got nothing. 4 years.
You might say that's even more stressful.
That's more stressful. Even so, I look at a guy like Graham Dillette. I've talked about him. A golfer who in his best years made, I think, close to $3 million. It's amazing. But he's not making that. He ran into back problems. That money has to last him 30, 40 years. Or he's got to go find a whole new career, go back to school, start again. Everybody deals with their own thing.
And to the point that Alberta's facing 25% unemployment. You want to talk about the stress on CFL owners and presidents right now? And governors? And Randy Ambrosi? That there might not even be a season? Everybody's in the tough boat right now. And back to Duran, he's been through it. That's all.
Yeah.
Enough on that. We didn't get to what was going to be our favorite topic, and we'll do it in overtime. One of our favorite topics. Casey, watching in Winnipeg, says, don't get me wrong. I would love to see all the stadiums full, just feeling the passion live, but others feel better sitting in their chair with cheaper beer. That feeds into our poll question today, which is, will you be hesitant to go back into stadiums and arenas once the pandemic lifts for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center? We will talk about the poll results and that when we come back. How are we going to get people back into buying tickets? Overtime's next. It's the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause.
Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is overtime. Can you put the camera on Darren? What are you laughing about so much?
Are you going to read it?
I don't know how this was brought to my attention other than a guy tweeted me. His handle is at Release Gigaton, if that means anything. His name's Jeff. And they put together houses with CFL personalities and said, which house would you prefer to be isolated with? House one, you go have your choice of houses. Mike Riley, Brandon Banks, Andrew Harris, Charleston Hughes, Doug Flutie, or Lou Pisaglia. That's one house. House two, Bo Levi Mitchell, Rod Peterson, William Powell, Kwaku Boateng, Anthony Calvillo, Trey Roberson. They edited it. Yes, this guy did. House 9, Vernon Adams Jr., Eric Rogers, Simone Lawrence, Rod Black, Ricky Ray, Solomon Elamimian. So that's what you're laughing about.
Oh, man. It'd be like Fight Club every night. Be awesome. Could you imagine the tension in that household? It started with the lunchroom tables months ago, right?
Right.
Which table you want to sit at the cafeteria, and now it's turned into the house you want to be quarantined with. It's been pretty good. That's a good one.
I think that I would be on one floor and Bo would be on the other. Yeah. I don't think we would intersect. We would use the kitchen at separate times. Did you ever go to college? You did. You went to broadcasting school. Yeah. I lived in dorms at college.
Okay.
So it would be having a grid, what times, what rooms you could have. That's what it would be. It was tough. Jason in Red Deer says, great show as always, guys, with the exception of you not even acknowledging my joke about Bo actually not having any Grey Cup rings. LOL. I missed it, Jason. When you comment 97 times a show, I can't see them all. So to the question about filling the stadiums and so forth, and I... You know, to the poll, will you be hesitant to go back to stadiums? Over 60%, last I looked, said no. 61% of you saying no on Twitter, you won't be hesitant. 22% say you're not sure yet. And 17% say, yeah, you'll be hesitant to re-enter stadiums and arenas. I say if the only thing holding people back is fear, but it's otherwise health safe to go, leave that up to us and the marketing people to get people back in. I get what the guy said. People would prefer to stay home with a colder beer and their big screen TV. That needs to change. And it's not just about cost. I got to tell you, if the PFC and U Sports, Junior A charged a toonie for tickets.
Wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. People aren't going. Even now it's $10 and their attendance is at an all-time low. Forget about the pros. I'm interested to see how pro sports comes back after this in terms of ticket pricing and so forth. Mm-hmm. But to say, I guess how this all started was somebody said they'll never get to 55,000 in BC Place. I hear that a lot. Bob McCowan in Toronto said the Argos will never get back to selling out every game. What do you mean never? With an attitude like that, yeah, I guarantee you won't. I think you can get back. You?
I do too. You have to create a connection, a real connection. You think about that. I like your comment about the university sports, the PFC. If it was a toonie, if it was free, could you pack it? No. They've been trying to get kids, university kids, to come out for a long time. And we've talked about maybe you have $10 and you get a cup and it's unlimited beer throughout the whole game. That'd be cool. Pre-game before the party. And then you can have a bus that shuttles you down for a pub crawl or to the first stop at the bar after the game's over at 10 o'clock at night. That would be great. but you're still not creating a connection with the game. You're just giving them a party so they're coming, which helps, but you need to create a real connection. You need to make people feel attached and need to be there. Why do you watch your team play? Because you care if they win or lose. Because you have a connection to your team. To build that, you have to create that us against them. You have to have a hero and a villain. Right? You need it. You can't just, you know, talk only about your team and not about the opposition. If that's the case, then people would show up to watch practice. They don't even care. You got to create a real need that we need to be there, that it matters if we win or lose. That's marketing.
Cooper Campbell, a football guy from Mississippi, is watching. He writes and he says, Rod, you and Paul Levi need to do lunch at Wendell's with Dupes and Frenzy and bury the hatchet. LOL. Hey, listen, how many times do I have to say, if I knew Bo, I think we'd be big friends. I really do. I don't know the guy. Isn't that something, the way that we go back and forth, we've never actually met? It's wild. But to this marketing people writing in and stuff, I've said it a million times. I'm tired of saying it. And I'm not going to go down this road other than to say, when you had an opportunity to meet a player when you were a child, it changes your life. And what I hear from most of these teams that I deal with now, they either don't want to do it, the teams don't want to do it, or they say the players don't want to do it. And you know what? One thing I've learned, players haven't changed. You're telling me players don't want to do it. Let's go ask the players if they want to do it, because I don't believe you. And back to the villain and the good guy and stuff, the suits, the corporate people that are running sports now, they want it to be boring. And guess what? You've accomplished it. It's boring. The storylines aren't there.
Yep.
The Battle of Alberta, why do you think we went so nuts about it this winter? Because it was so rare. It hasn't been around for 20 years.
And it wasn't even the Battle of Alberta.
You speak your mind, you get friggin' castrated now in sports.
But it wasn't even the Battle of Alberta. It became Cassian versus Lucic. And it was so great. What's going to happen? These guys don't like each other. And you get so passionate about your team, and then you take a shot in the face. And you lose a game, or you get embarrassed, you lose a fight, and you're like, then you're even more passionate. You're trying to find ways to say that, well, we won this and this, we beat you here. And you can't wait for the next game because you want to get them back. That's what it's all about. We need to get that back into sports, into marketing. John Tortorella said it a year ago, I think. He said, we need more hate in sports. We can do it in a respectful way. We shake hands after the game. That handshake doesn't mean anything anymore. Because we all love each other anyway. We're doing it during the game. Handshake after a tough 7-game series used to mean so much in sports because you just hated each other for the past week and a half. That's not there anymore.
There needs to be the hate because it's not real hate. It's fun hate. And to how we started this whole thing, this morning I was going back and forth. Should I tweet this about Bo? Shouldn't I? Should I? Yeah, hell, what the hell? It's good for ratings. It's good for hits. It's good for eyeballs. And that's exactly what happened. But there's a lot of people don't want that anymore, so that's why it's great that we have our own show. We can do whatever we want.
Yep.
Are we done? Are we having a meeting? Okay. What? Oh, thank you. Rock star of the day. That should be good. Rockstar of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. I'll be putting it up. I'll be tweeting it here. Claire Hanna, Eddie Steele, Justin Dunk, Sook Chung. Pretty good one. I wish there were more options because there would be more Bo Levi.
Yeah.
Bo Levi's rings. So we'll be voting on that. Yesterday's winner of the Rockstar of the day was Kelly Taylor, the comedian. You just never know how these things are going to go.
Yeah,
that's why
good.
You put it to a vote. On the show tomorrow, Derek Myers, the Duke. Amber, I don't even know how to say that. Balcane?
Balsane.
She is the future Mrs. Jordan Reeves, and she's a race car driver from the States. Amber Balsane. We got to get that figured out before tomorrow, how to say it. Amanda Ruler on WrestleMania 36. I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be cool.
Now you got to have to help me, Clark. Ty Magali. Okay, just say Ty. It's just, I can't pronounce this. From Ohm Hockey Systems? Yeah. Okay. Hockey Systems Training Program. Good stuff. All right, we're done. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.